Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
So, how are you feeling?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm like, after Saturday's announcement, I'm sort of feeling a bit confused. And part of me thinks it's going to be easier this time round, being at home, you know, for a month. But then we know what it's like, and we know that it's like a roller coaster, don't we?
I mean, basically, certain parts of the country have already been in lockdown for, you know, Wales has been there for sort of 3 weeks, parts of the north, obviously. So for us, this is kind of a new thing that's happened over the weekend. But for a large majority of the country, they were already in lockdown. But it's, and even though we knew it was coming and everybody was, all the rumours were there and we knew what Boris was going to say, hearing him say the words, you must stay at home, it was like somebody kicked me in the guts. And actually getting up and going to work on Sunday and having to turn up the feel good when actually I just felt like howling. I know it's going to be fine. We know what to expect this time around, don't we? Because we've done it before and there's loads of positives. But I think it's hard not to take on the weight of the enormity of what it's doing to a lot of the country and the businesses and the people,
you know,
and livelihoods. Yeah,
that's when it gets to me, when I sort of scroll on Instagram or whatever and I'm seeing posts from, you know, my local coffee shop, my local restaurant, my local gift shop, those kind of places that I go and I, you know the owners and that kind of thing. And then that's when I feel it, you know, people who've just started their businesses and I mean, but you can't, like you said, we were chatting earlier, weren't we, Zoe? You said, you need to think of your immediate family. And I guess if we all take care of our immediate friends and family, then we'll all be looked after.
Yeah. And I think it's really important at this time to focus on your single friends. You know, your friends who, you know, have maybe gone through a divorce or a single parents, or, you know, actually just your mates that don't have a partner and don't have children, and just make sure that you're checking in on them. Like my producer, Matt, he lives on his own in Canterbury. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He's 38. He doesn't have kids. And when I saw him yesterday at work, we just sort of looked at each other and these like big tears, like proper tears, like rolled down our cheeks, because it was like, he's going to be on his own again. And I think it's those people, you know, it's people's mental health. It's really making sure, like you said, that we're sort of rallying around the people that need us at the moment, and hoping and praying that it's only going to be for a month. Like, we can do that.
Exactly, we can get our heads down for a month, can't we? And also, we're here in people's ears if, you know, if they're feeling a bit lonely.
And also the kids can still go to school.
Yes. There is still childcare this time round. If there was ever a positive, it's that.
There's a chance that I would have gone to Downing Street and pelted some eggs at Boris's front door if he'd said that the schools were closing. So he escaped.
I would have chained myself to the railings.
Yes. And made my mum's chaining session. but we should get into the chat, because we're really, really looking forward to this one. Well, we had the conversation last week, but we've been trying to pin her down for quite a few months. But obviously, she has just had her baby, so she's obviously been in the tumble dryer for a long time. And it was just a really fantastic, honest conversation. And I think you and I will say that the image that she had in the public eye before she had her children is very different to the image that she is sort of portraying now.
Yes.
I'm really impressed by her honesty.
Me too. No, do you know what? It's really lovely to see. I think it's very easy for people, isn't it, just to show the good stuff on Instagram. Yeah. And in a way, that is the easier way, you know, just to make out that it's, you know, it's all good. But actually, she has, you know, talked about all of her struggles, showed absolutely everything. And I think that really does help a lot of people, especially at this kind of time when people aren't getting out to baby groups and stuff, knowing that they're not alone and knowing that, you know, everybody goes through the same struggles is really reassuring.
Yeah, and I think we knew, didn't we, that we were really going to like her when we saw a post on her page of her pumping and drinking a glass of red wine at the same time. It's like, that is a girl after our own heart. Who are we chatting to today?
Today we're chatting to Millie McIntosh.
So today's guest is one of our favourite people to follow on social media because even though she burst onto our screens like many, many, many moons ago as kind of like, you know, an early 20s, or maybe even late teens. I don't know how old she was exactly when she was in Made in Chelsea. But I think the most interesting journey from our point of view has been watching her motherhood journey and how honest and relatable she's been on her socials about being a new mum to Sienna. Today's guest, very excited, is Millie McIntosh.
Yay! Oh, hi. Thank you. That was such a lovely intro. Thank you so much for having me on. I've wanted to do this for ages. I'm so glad we finally found a time to do it.
Well, listen, you've been in the midst of the early 6 month stages. It's you sort of feel like you're drowning. It's like the most amazing amount of drowning. Like you're like, I'm doing this. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. I've got this. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
I'd say the first 3 months, particularly, it's like a bubble that you just you can't see a way out of. You're just completely absorbed by it. You're completely in it. Like everything's almost quite like fuzzy. You're just literally. Yeah. In your little bubble at home, and anything outside of your bubble just seems really impossible. And then every week, I'd say it just slowly gets like slightly more normal and like a bit easier. But then something changes again, and you're just like, you sometimes, you know, these things happen. You feel like you go back to the very start again. A very positive birth experience. I feel very lucky. I had a C-section. And I knew I was having it because she was breached. So she was breached for about the last 10 weeks of my pregnancy and she just would not move. My obstetrician said, I don't think she's going to move, like when he had a feel. But I kind of was positive, like, oh, maybe she will. And I did, you know, some of the kind of exercises and stretches and like went up the stairs sideways and it was really uncomfortable. So I really wanted her to move, but she was like, no, I'm staying put. Yeah. So I had a C-section, which I was really happy with. That was actually, you know, something a lot of my friends have had. And some people might have an issue with it if they felt they really, really wanted a natural birth.
Yeah.
But I was completely comfortable that was going to be the safest way for her to arrive.
Yeah.
And I did have, you know, some fears about having surgery. I've never had surgery before. And obviously you're awake, which is quite weird, but it didn't feel like it still was a magical birth experience. Obviously it's quite clinical and you are in theatre and you know, everyone's in a mask and, you know, all scrubbed up, but it was still a really magical, special kind of birth experience. I feel really lucky.
What was your recovery like, Millie, after that?
My recovery, do you know what? It wasn't too bad. It was painful. It was painful, you know, for the first couple of weeks, especially in the first 2 weeks. And, you know, you have the painkillers and they do help. But, you have to be very careful kind of getting out of bed. And I made sure, you know, rested a lot and slept a lot. You know, you've had abdominal surgery. Yeah. I don't think I left the house to go for a walk for about 10 days. After about 4 weeks, I started to feel like kind of more mobile. And it's been a recovery process. The scar is definitely a lot less painful now.
Are there kind of specific, I don't know, because George and I have never had a C-section, and actually it's something we haven't covered in detail in terms of what you can and can't do. So are you bedbound? Can you walk around?
No, so that's like a bit of a misconception, I think. I thought that for like a few weeks afterwards I'd be like bedbound, but they actually want you to move around. I mean, the day I had the C-section, I didn't walk around that day. I didn't get out of bed that day. It was the next day that the nurse, actually, the midwife, wanted to get me up.
Yeah.
And that is a bit scary. Like, the first time, it's quite uncomfortable. You kind of almost like quite hunched over. But they do. It's actually really good for your recovery to actually move around like a little bit. You can't lift anything heavy. So your baby is the heaviest thing that you can lift. Yeah. But the first few days, it was definitely like very much like she was being brought to me.
Yeah. And was Hugo, you know, helping with all of the other stuff?
He was great. So he couldn't stay with me because of COVID. He couldn't stay in the hospital. So I was in for 2 nights. Right. So, you know, the midwives really looked after me, and he very sweetly kind of was like at home, like getting everything really ready, like making the house look perfect, like filling the fridge with all my favorite foods. And I think I just told him just sleep, like just get some sleep in, because when I get home, you're not going to be getting much sleep. And he was a big, big help when Sienna arrived, definitely.
Yeah, now this is a question that we like asking, because obviously when you're in a relationship with somebody and it's just the two of you, you kind of find your flow as a couple, and then suddenly there's a new baby and it throws everything up in the air, doesn't it? So there is, you know, a period where you're really trying to figure out how you operate together as parents. How did Hugo take to the role?
He has taken to the role really well. I thought he would, to be honest. I did think, okay, he's gonna be a good dad. But he's actually, like, you know, completely surpassed my expectations. He's been amazing. At the beginning, I think it is hard because I was breastfeeding, and the baby doesn't just needs a mum a lot, yeah. Like basically round the clock to feed, and they can't do that, you know, if you're breastfeeding. But what he was a massive help with was just like feeding me, you know, keeping the house like in order, doing the kind of things that I guess I'm normally the cook of the house. So he was kind of doing all the food shopping, all the cooking, all the cleaning up, making sure I was okay, and you know, making sure I had a break and naps and having cuddles with her. Just so, so sweet seeing their bond.
We were saying this yesterday, weren't we, G, that actually at the beginning, all you need is somebody to come and cook for you, clean for you, do the yes. washing, and like stroke your forehead and bring you water if you're breastfeeding.
Yeah.
It's like, that's
exactly the goal. What you need. Yeah, exactly. That is what you need, though, because you just are so focused on the baby. You don't want to have to think about putting the washing on. And there's like, you know, you're going through like quite a lot of, I was basically just wearing kind of a nightshirt or something comfy, but like between you and the baby, there's quite a lot of washing that's going on. There's, yeah. you know,
of course.
Thick and body fluids everywhere.
And how did you find breastfeeding at the beginning?
I found it really hard at the beginning. I ended up using nipple shields, which I used all the way through my until I finished breastfeeding at 4 months. I used them because my nipples were so sore. She wasn't latching properly. And I was getting kind of like bliss. This is on about day four. My nipples were kind of like blistered. One of them was actually bleeding. And it was so painful every time
God.
She wanted to feed. I would cry. And it's like you almost wince like just before they latch on because you know like how much it's going to hurt. But then you also really, I was so happy that she was wanting to feed because I had this fear that I wouldn't be able to breastfeed. And I was really determined to do it. And then I had the nipple shields like, in my hospital bag, but the midwife had said to me in the hospital not to use them. And it's so funny how like everyone's got a different view on everything. And
yeah.
I'm sure this comes up so much with like everything in motherhood. And because she said that, I thought, oh, maybe they're bad. Okay, I won't use them then. But then it was about 2 or 3 days later, I thought, do you know what? I'm going to try the nipple shields. And if I hadn't used them, like I would have stopped breastfeeding. I was ready to, it was so painful. I was ready to put her onto formula like the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the trouble. Yeah, there is so much conflicting information. We find this. And I think you have to just kind of go with your gut and do what's right for you.
Completely. How did you guys find it?
I think we both had different experiences, didn't we? I think we both decided that we wanted to give it a go, but we weren't those mums that wanted to carry on breastfeeding until, you know, baby was 18 months, 2 years old. And I really, yeah. like, hats off to those women. Like, I wish yeah. that I could stuck with it. I really do, because I think for ease and, you know, for maybe for, I don't know, yeah, maybe just for ease and kind of like comfort, maybe.
Yeah. And like a lot yeah, of problems. Yeah, I do. I miss the cuddles from it. Yeah. You know, I miss that. I mean, yeah. Having her on my chest.
I think it's just very different. Like, every experience is different. Like, with my first, I found it really, really, really tough. And I switched to formula really early on. The second time, I didn't find it quite so tough. But actually, I just wanted my independence back.
Yeah.
I wanted to be able to leave the baby with my husband or my mum or whatever and have a few hours to myself. So I think it's just all relative to your situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was actually reflux in the end that pushed me to, when I discovered Sienna's reflux, that's what pushed me to stop breastfeeding.
Because you've definitely had a kind of, you've definitely hit some road bumps, like we all do, but for you, you know, you've spoken about two fairly major things on your socials recently. The first one was the hip dysplasia, which I want to come on to, but as we're touching on the reflux now, so you were breastfeeding, yeah. what were you noticing was going on with Sienna during those feeding times?
Being a first-time mum, I'm sure lots of people can relate to this, where you don't have anything to compare it to. So if all of your baby's behaviour seems odd to you, you don't know what's normal, you don't know what's not, because it's just a completely new experience. So she would do stuff like, she would be frantically hungry, like just almost like kind of like a little savage, just going like, ah, like desperate to feed. And I'd get her on the boob and then she would suck furiously and then like pull off and like cry.
Yeah,
that was like one thing she did. I mean, not every feed was the same, so you could have some which seemed to go quite smoothly, and others that were more tricky. But there was quite a lot of that kind of like frantic feeding with a bit of like head bobbing, yeah. And then like she would be quite squirmy and she would cry a lot every evening. But I didn't yeah. realize it was reflux because she wasn't actually really throwing up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. A lot of people don't realise that, do they? That it's not always the, them being physically sick and vomiting. Yeah, so she basically had
silent reflux, which is the term they use when it doesn't present itself as, yeah, like this actual like bringing up whole feeds. Like she would, you know, have a bit of spit up here and there, but it was never enough to think, oh, maybe she has reflux. Because all babies have some kind of reflux, right? It's just the like, the extent of it, you know, it's whether it's actually bothering them enough that they're not feeding properly, not sleeping properly.
Was she losing weight and was she not sleeping?
So she never lost weight. It wasn't an issue with that. And again, that's another thing where you would definitely think, I need to go to the doctor and sort this out, because her weight gain was fine. She wasn't that bad once she was actually asleep. She was actually quite a good sleeper, but it was getting her to sleep was really difficult. And once she was around like 3 months, those kind of day naps had really kind of, which you know when they're tiny, they sleep a lot.
Yeah.
And then as they get a bit bigger, like the day naps get more tricky, and she was really hard to get her into a routine.
Yeah.
To get her to follow a routine, I couldn't get her to go like 3 hours or 4 hours between feeds.
So what was the turning point when you decided, right, I think there's something going on here, I need to seek some help?
It was actually a bit of a double whammy, because we went away on our first family holiday, which was, it was amazing, but it was tough as well. It was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, they're not holidays anymore, Mills. They're not.
No, they're not. And it was my birthday as well. It was all just like this really harsh realization that like life as we knew it is completely over. And we got back, but we did still have a nice time, a nice good memories, but it was a bit stressful. We got back and then the next day she had a scan on her hips because she was breech. It's like a standard thing that NHS do. If your baby is born breech, they do a scan. They'd done one already at 6 weeks and she had, they said they wanted to do another one, but not to worry. They said there probably wasn't anything wrong, but they wanted to just do another scan just to have a look at them again in another 6 weeks. So we took her in and they did the scan and then we went to see the pediatric physio. And they said, right, she's got hip dysplasia. One of her hips actually, the hip socket isn't properly formed, and she's going to have to go into a harness today, and she's going to have to wear it for the next 6 to 12 weeks.
Wow,
it was a massive shock. It was really hard going into that appointment, literally thinking they were just going to do a routine check and send us home. They were just, you know, ticking the boxes to make sure everything was fine. I hadn't even considered the possibility that it wouldn't be fine.
Yeah.
So it was a real shock. And when we took her home, so she's in this harness. I don't know if you've probably seen pictures of it on my Instagram.
Yeah.
It pulls the legs apart. So they're almost in like a frog-like position. And it doesn't hurt them at all. Like, it really doesn't. But obviously, while they're adjusting to it, you know, she was really distressed. She didn't understand why she couldn't move her legs. It was honestly one of the hardest things I've ever been through. I didn't sleep the first night. I just sat up with her the entire night with her on my, like, on me, like, letting her sleep on me. And I was too scared to fall asleep with her on me in the bed. Mm-hmm. So I just sat up the entire night. Honestly, it can make me cry now. It was really hard seeing my really, like, happy, docile, chilled little bubba just screaming around the clock.
Yeah.
And the crying lasted for a couple of days. But even when she kind of seemed to have got used to the harness, she still seemed a lot more distressed. And she just, they really seemed like there was something wrong.
Yeah.
And I saw a friend who, a kind of mutual friend. I met up with her because her daughter had hip dysplasia, and she just kind of really wanted to reassure me that everything would be okay. So many amazing people reached out and sharing about it definitely, you know, it really made me feel a lot less worried. Because so many people said this harness really works, because I just wanted to rip the thing off. I really did. I wanted to take it off, go back to the doctor, demand, you know, different treatment. I was like, I can't get through this.
Yeah.
What then was a game changer was my friend said, you've got to read this book. And she gave me Alison Scott Wright's book, The Sensational Baby Sleep Plan. Because Sienna at this point wasn't really in a routine, and especially with the harness, she seemed more uncomfortable. She wasn't sleeping very much, and she just seemed really unsettled. When I was reading the book, there's a section on how to understand if your baby has reflux, and she ticked off a lot of the things on the list.
Right.
So that was when I realised, basically, with the harness, having her legs in the fixed position made her reflux worse.
Yes.
It was like, you know, it was uncomfortable for her. She couldn't stretch out her legs, which is one of the things they often do to kind of relieve this like discomfort from reflux.
Yeah.
So basically, the harness made me understand realize that she had reflux, and then we basically had to do something about it while she was in the harness. And breastfeeding while she was in the harness was also quite tricky. So it basically meant it was the end of my breastfeeding journey.
Right.
Which took me a few weeks.
Yeah.
It was sad. I really didn't want to stop just because of the harness. So I really tried to, you know, to keep persevering with it.
Yeah.
But, it did change it for me. So I think I did it for about another 4 weeks. And then I'd also realized with, Sienna's reflux and suspected, cow's milk, dairy intolerance, that it was better to move her onto like a prescribed formula, better for her.
Yeah.
And I saw such a change in her in a couple of days from being on it, as well as she's on medication as well, like for the reflux. She has like a tablet every morning that I like dissolve.
So she's on Neocate and Omeprazole. And has she settled?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, because obviously I've had a very similar journey to you, Millie, with Kit. I don't know if you know this, but obviously
I know Alison.
We're friends of Alison's, and she basically came in. I mean, basically, Kit screamed for 11 weeks nonstop, nonstop. I couldn't take him in the pram. He couldn't travel in the car. I couldn't even walk into town with him in the pram. I had to basically keep him on me the whole time upright. He wouldn't sleep on his back. It was just a nightmare. He would turn redder and redder and redder, and he would foam at the mouth. And his intolerances were so bad, like severe. He used to have a dairy and egg allergy. He's still got the egg one now. But Alison basically just came in and completely sorted us out. I finally got some sleep after 11 weeks of not sleeping. It was savage.
I don't know how you got through that, because I had a hard time, but I never had a baby that screamed for like weeks on end. And the couple of days when I did have it really kind of gets to you, and I don't think I would have been able to cope with much longer. So I honestly take my hat off to you. You're an absolute hero for getting through that.
Well, you just do, don't you? Just, it's just these things are thrown at you. But at the time, what's really interesting is that we're kind of taught by society to normalize things about our children. It's like,
yes.
I think we've got the most incredible network of NHS doctors and all of those amenities. The midwives are amazing. So this isn't a dig at them. There's a bit of a British thing of, oh, you know, it's just a phase, or just get on with it, or, you know, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Or this is it.
And you babies just kind cry. Of,
babies
cry.
Babies cry. Yeah. That's one of my worst. I was told that as well. Babies cry, like, they're not happy all the time. Okay, they're not happy all the time. They do have tantrums and they get overtired, but they shouldn't just cry all the time. There's something wrong if they're crying.
They
all
don't
the time.
Scream for no reason.
Yeah.
So obviously you had a baby during lockdown, which you touched on earlier. Did you find, you know, the support after was, you know, what just wasn't there because you couldn't get out to baby groups, or I don't know what the midwife care was like. Just talk us through that.
It was different. I mean, my health visitor didn't come to the house, so that was just on the phone. And I still felt that it was helpful. Luckily, I discovered the nipple shield, so Sienna was feeding. But I'd felt that if I really had a bigger issue and couldn't get her to latch, I was going to get a lactation expert to come and give me, you know, a bit of extra help. But in the end, I didn't need that.
We'll be right back after the short break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
The Moments That Made Me with me, Ruxy Nafusi, is back. And Series 2 has got some incredible guests lined up. Here is a little taster.
People see mental illness as a weakness, but I think people with mental illness are stronger.
I'm a proud gay man now. I don't feel proud every single day.
So then I had to go about the task of trying to accept it because I wasn't going to get plastic surgery and I wasn't going to change it.
You know, those moments in your life, it was like a thunderbolt.
Was it really?
A big time.
The conversations I've been having have blown my mind, and I cannot wait for you guys to hear what's to come. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss one of our amazing episodes. They will be out every Wednesday morning. That's The Moments That Made Me with me, Ruxy Nafusi. Find it wherever you found this podcast.
So welcome back. Back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
I think that must be really hard as well for the midwives and the health visitors, because they're the ones that, you know, they're almost like the guiding angels at the beginning, aren't they?
Yes.
They're the ones that come in and sort of put you back together and kind of make sure that you're doing all right. I mean, for me, I just looked forward to those days where I knew that my health visitor was coming. She was so lovely. So it must be really difficult, I think, to kind of try and give that level of care over the phone when you can't have a face-to-face meeting.
I was lucky. Gave birth privately, and so I did have a private midwife who came to visit me for the first couple of weeks once a week. And like you said, I really looked forward to it, and she really like made sure I was okay. She didn't just make sure like Sienna was okay, you know, she would weigh Sienna and do all of that, but she would also look after me. And at the beginning, she would because I'd had a c-section, she would have a look. I had a dressing on my scar, and it had to be changed. It's like a special type of like medical dressing where it's kind of like vacuum packed onto you.
Wow.
It's amazing, like, the things they do. But apparently it's really great for like the healing, and it just keeps it really like protected. So she had to come and like take that off and change it for me. And she would, I was definitely struggling with the baby blues in the first few weeks. I posted about it actually last weekend and I had such an overwhelming response. I don't know if it affected you. But I don't think it's really spoken about enough.
No, it's not.
We love to beat this drum as well, because it isn't spoken about enough. And it goes back to that thing that I was saying, that, you know, everybody's so overwhelmed by the fact that you've had a baby that, but people don't necessarily take a second to say, and it's not their fault, to say like, how are you? And we don't then say, we're not good, actually. We just go, we're fine. We just got to get on with it. Because this like innate responsibility of having to look after a tiny child is there, and that's all you focus on. That's why it's so dangerous, I think.
That's the main priority. And I think it's hard. I think I had this idea that when you had the baby, everything's going to be happy and perfect, and yes, we'll be tired, but it will just be joy and love, and it's actually really hard, and it doesn't always feel happy. And I think then because I had this expectation that I would feel so happy, I was kind of like, well, this isn't like what I thought, and there's something wrong with me, and you know, why is my experience not like what I thought it would be? So I think the expectation that it's all going to be perfect, and it can be something that's quite damaging.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, we're talking about the waves of tears and the hormonal flushes that wouldn't go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just would cry for no reason. Didn't know why I was crying. And it was like every day. But my midwife visit really helped, because she would really talk to me about it. Often I'd have a good cry.
Yeah.
But it made me feel better. And she'd tell me it was completely normal. I spoke to my obstetrician and he said, keep a journal of, like, you don't have to write down all your feelings all day, but just write down the date and write down. I actually just I was writing a journal of like Sienna's feeds and stuff. So I'd actually ended up just writing it in there.
Yeah.
And I would just put like whether a happy face or a sad face. So I could just look through and be like, how many happy faces are there? Or like, you know, how many, if I felt blue for like more than 3 days in a row, well, it helped me to actually think, actually no, I felt good then, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then by 6 weeks it had really lifted.
I was going to say, what did you do to kind of help you? Who did you turn to? Did you talk to Hugo about it? Did you talk to mates? What helped you get out of it?
A combination, I think, speaking to other mums, friends that were other mums, really helped, because it just said, it's completely normal, this happened to me, you will feel better. My mum was great. So I just really told people how I was struggling sometimes with my emotions, like friends, family.
Yeah.
Hugo was great, and people would just remind me, you know, like, have you gone for a walk today? Have you been out in nature?
Yeah.
And these little things would really help, as well as just really trying to like sleep in the day. Like when Sienna was asleep, I'd try and have naps. You know, take some time and just, you know, watch a bit of a trashy show on Netflix, just like little, you know, while she was having a nap, these little things which would just give me a few moments to just zone out from being a mum for a second.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to take those times, isn't it? But it doesn't go in our nature as the women that we are, in terms of our you know, pre-baby life was always going here into this meeting, and you ran your own business and you were always busy filming.
Yeah.
And suddenly you have to, the world, even though it's massive because you've got this baby in it, it becomes very small. And, you know, sleeping in the day doesn't even come naturally, does it?
No,
it was a challenge to do it. I tried to train myself to do it my last few weeks of pregnancy. And then I the first couple of weeks I did try and have like a couple of hours, like split up like an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon. And I think that made a big, big difference to my recovery for sure.
I think a lot of us put, you know, so much pressure on ourselves to be everything to the baby, and we forget about ourselves, we neglect ourselves. So do you take more time for yourself now?
I do try and take more time for myself now. From about 8 weeks postpartum, I started exercising again, like with a trainer, and that has been a really, you know, positive thing for me. It makes me feel good mentally. It's made me feel strong. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but Sienna's now, she's almost 8 kg. And, you know, like picking them up off the floor and stuff, like, you know, you've got to have some strength in your legs to do it and not like feel like you're going to fall over. So exercise has been a good one. Yeah, just like having like last night, I just had like a bubble bath with candles and some music. And I mean, I haven't taken the time to actually like read a book. I don't know about you guys. That seems
no,
a bit
my God,
impossible.
No.
The last thing that I read was the back of a Calpol packet, and that has been my life for the last 3 years.
Yeah, a magazine, like a Sunday, like, you know, a bit of like a Sunday supplement, or you know, a glossy weekly or whatever, like the occasional like, like a fashion mag, like heaven. But
dreamy.
You only look at a couple of pages.
self-care is
so important.
I touched on this a bit earlier on, but I just wanted to say, from Georgia and I, and obviously everybody that follows you on social, it's like, thank you for being so real and so honest on your social media. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't expect that from you. I feel like the way that you have portrayed motherhood has been like admirable. And I wanted to know if you thought you were going to do that before Sienna came along, and why you think it's important to show all of the realness.
Thank you for saying that. It's not something I planned on doing. It just kind of was how I felt. And it really started, I think, for me when I was pregnant. I started to, you know, you can, you go through different things in your pregnancy, you can feel a bit isolated, you can feel a bit alone. And I found talking about any issues I was experiencing, like I would really bother me that people would always comment on the size of my bump. That was like, you know, or the on my size. Like, and I like talked about it, and so many people would, people that have been through the same thing would comment and message me, and it really made me feel better. So it's almost, you know, it's partly for me, but also I do think it's so important. Social media can be really dangerous. And I think when it's most dangerous is when people just pretend everything's perfect all the time, and it's all easy, and it's all like, you know, flowers and rainbows, and like that's just not the reality of real life. It started when I was pregnant, and I just thought, well, I'm definitely going to carry this on as a new mum. I didn't know how open I was going to want to be until I actually had Sienna, and it took me a little bit of time. You know, I took a bit of time off from social media when I first had her, and I'm still definitely finding my rhythm about it and what I want to talk about and what I'm ready to talk about. But I really enjoy hearing from other mums, and I've found it such a welcoming community, and it's actually just shown me like such a kind of positive side to social media.
I was going to ask you that. So you've obviously mentioned that there's been lots of positives to come of being so open on social. Has there been any negative comments, and how do you deal with that?
There has been, I think, possibly more since becoming a mum than I've ever really dealt with before, and it has definitely bothered me more than it's ever bothered me before, because you feel so protective.
Yeah,
you're kind of like, how dare anyone say that? I'm sure you have too, like horrible messages and comments. Like I put up the first picture I ever posted on Instagram of it was like a fan of Sienna. It was me, Hugo, and Sienna when she was a few weeks old. And someone said I was holding her wrong, and clearly I was a bad mum, and it upset me so much.
Oh, fuck off. No, fuck off. Actually, fuck off.
Like, you clearly don't know, like, what, you're clearly a bad mum. Look, it's dangerous the way you're holding her. Like, you clearly don't know what you're doing. Oh my God, literally, I saw red. So angry.
Did you go back to them?
No, I really don't reply, because I don't want them to even think that they've upset me. But it's hard to not reply. That's always the stance I've taken, is just to not reply to trolls. But there have been times when it has really bothered me. And there were some comments about my weight first time. I was pictured, and it is hard being in the public eye. Like, I was pictured leaving hospital. Like, you don't want anyone to see you. Like, just given birth. I just had surgery. I was full of liquid. But, you know, and then the first time I went for a walk, and then I had really bad anxiety every time I left the house to go for a walk after that. If I was going to get pictured again, it would take me like an hour to find an outfit I thought was flattering just to leave the house and go for a walk, on top of how I was already feeling.
When really you just want to wear tracksuit bottoms anyway. It's like,
you just want to wear the most comfortable thing. But then I was like, oh, is that so unflattering? Oh, can I wear that? Oh, just leave a massive pile of my dressing room floor and always be in tears because I was so self-conscious from some of these comments. People can be really, really mean.
Yeah, they can. I actually just don't understand why people pick at other people in general, but especially after somebody's just given birth. I mean, it blows my mind that anyone can be that horrible.
It's disgusting, isn't it? I actually think they need to be called out. We have a bit of a policy at Made by Mamas that if anybody, we're so lucky because everybody that listens and everyone that follows us is so supportive. And I don't know about you, but you feel when you become a parent, you're just in this amazing club. And I just don't want any negativity around any of it because what we're all doing is amazing. Getting through the day and keeping tiny humans alive and well is a fucking miracle.
Yeah, exactly.
It is, and it's really hard work. It's you know, the toughest job you'll ever have, and it never stops, and it's round the clock. But it is amazing. I'm really enjoying it. I feel like each month that goes by, every week, like I'm just enjoying it more and more. Having the road bumps that I've had have made me really appreciate when it's good. So that's what the flip side of it is that I'm now just, you know, having her in the harness was so hard to cuddle her and so hard. Just, it made everything just a bit harder. And having it off again just makes everything such a joy. So it really taught me to appreciate just the simple, small things and just appreciate every moment with her. And that she's changing so much. So we had the harness and the reflux, then moved on from that. And then we have now weaning and teething. So those are the kind of two.
The joys. How's weaning going?
So we started at 5 months, so we've been doing it for a couple of weeks, and she's just doing two meals a day at the moment. She has I'm doing like very smooth purees, and baby leds when you let them feed themselves, right?
Yeah,
I'm doing spoon fed at the moment. So I'm making like a fruit puree for her for breakfast and mixing it with some baby porridge and a bit of almond milk. And then for lunch, she has kind of like veg purees. Now she's having some combinations, maybe of like two different ones that I know that she's okay with, because some things have made her reflux flare up a bit more. So it's quite simple and quite basic. And I just like steam stuff and then like whiz it up in the Nutribullet.
Yeah. And have you chosen to do spoon fed because I did that as well, and I did both, kind of a bit of both, but I was a bit obsessed with just making sure that the kids were eating, so I was like a little bit for you, whereas Georgia's completely opposite, and Georgia just lets them get into the food and there's mess everywhere.
I think that stage will come, but I wanted to feel like she's actually I know that I'm kind of in the first taste steps, to be honest, still at the moment. So I just want to see with her reflux, like what she's okay with and what she reacts to. And we're taking it like quite slowly. And that kind of feels right at the moment. But I gave her like apricot and almond porridge, quite yummy. I was quite jealous. And she was really like grabbing the spoon and trying, you know, so she like sees it coming and she grabs it and then pushes it into her mouth. So she's kind of almost, we're just doing it together, like she's feeding herself, but I'm in charge of the spoon.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, sounds like you've and then you don't get the mess.
I mean, I am a bit particular about my kitchen, I just don't think I'm ready for the mess yet. So I know it will come. I think I'm still enjoying the, you know, she gets a bit of mess down her, but it's not all over the walls, the floor, the ceiling.
Yeah. We always joke because when me and Georgia meet up, she always looks immaculate. She's always got her hair lovely and like bouncy and makeup. And then I look at her closely and I go, what's that? And she goes, oh, that's avocado. It's like a lump of avocado just stuck behind one of her ears.
My husband still now, like 4 years on, can't even be with the kids when they're eating. He cannot cope.
Really?
Cope with it. He literally can't cope with it. He has to like either just sit and like look forward and not at them, or he has to leave the room because he cannot cope with the mess. Whereas I don't know, I just let it go. I'm like, whatever, it's fine. It'll be clear.
Do you put a mat underneath the high chair?
I did. We're renovating it at the moment. So at the moment I'm not, because I don't care about that, you know, what's in the kitchen at the moment. But I'm sure when I, you know, when it's all done, I'll be a little bit more precious then. So yeah.
We like to ask our guests the question, yes, and George is going to give it to you.
Yeah, so, well, two questions. Firstly, what products are you loving as a mum?
I'll be transparent. I am working with one of the ones I'm going to mention, but I really do love them. Water wipes. Don't know if you guys have different brands that you love to use, but these I've been using since Sienna was about 2 weeks old, and absolutely love them. Now they've started weaning as well. They're like even more useful.
Yeah.
I just love that they don't have like chemicals in them. They're really pure. I like the kind of wetness of them. Makes like, you know, nappy changing super easy. I've got them like stashed, every room of the house has got a pack ready.
Yeah, we love water wipes. We're big fans.
So that would be one. Then I don't know if you have them, there's this brand of baby carriers which I absolutely love called Arty Poppy. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Yeah. Beautiful.
They're so beautiful. I love all the different fabrics, and it's such a special thing, like, you know, having a baby on your front. I think when you've been a mother and you've carried them inside of you, it just feels very primal. And for me, it's one of my favorite things is having Sienna in her carrier.
Yeah.
So they are a bit of an investment, but I think they are really special. Also really lovely gift for a friend or, you know, someone who, you know, who's giving birth. So those are like one of my favorite things to wear, because they actually look quite cool with your outfits as well.
They do. And especially at the moment where, you know, we're not really going out anywhere. And so that is your outfit, isn't it? If you're carrying your baby, that's all they can see.
The prints that they've got, all the designs, the leopard print and they're just gorgeous. We love.
Then there's, with weaning, I've been using these, this isn't an ad at all. These really lovely bowls and spoons from a brand called Omnia.
And they come in
like lovely like pastel colours, and I think I'm pretty sure they're plastic free. They're made of like bamboo. They're really great. And they can kind of, they've got loads of different colours, so you can really go for like whatever works with your kitchen or whatever, you know, is your preference.
Yeah.
So really loving them. We just got a new Stocker high chair, which is like trap chair.
Yes.
Where's it from? Together the other night. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Stocker, like Stocker.
Oh yes, okay.
I've got our cots from them as well, which is one of the ones that expands. So we had the like mini version, and now we have a big oval one.
Yeah, it's because a lot of their stuff kind of grows with it. Yeah, it's brilliant.
I like from like a sustainable angle, because you're not having to constantly, you know, with kids there's so many things they grow out of, and you're constantly like onto the next new thing, and I do feel conscious of the waste element of it.
Yes,
even though obviously I'll recycle everything and make sure it like goes to another home. I like that I'll be able to keep the chair for a long time, so she's got the baby attachment now, and then she'll have she'll go onto the then you just use it more like a small kind of little chair as they're like toddlers, I guess. Another one, the baby born.
Also, just quickly, they're Norwegian, aren't they? So they're probably like Stalker.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think you do say the E, like, Stalker. But I'm not quite with that. That's without an accent. I think that's how you say it. Anyway, I really like their products because they like last. I think they're good. And then one thing Sienna loves for ages, it keeps her really entertained, is this play mat. And I don't know about you guys, but kids do love, from what I know, babies really love like the garish, colourful
stuff. They do.
All that you don't really want stuff in your home. All the plastic stuff. And there's a lot of those kind of baby gyms that look really ugly. And we've actually got one that doesn't. And it's really kind of almost like beautiful looking. It's like made of like two pieces of wood that like crisscross over at the top, and then it's got a mat underneath, and it's all got different sensory bits on it, and then hanging from it, it's got like a wooden rattle, a ball, like a kind of textured ball, and like a thing that's kind of scrunchy, so when she scrunches it like crackles. Yeah. And she's obsessed playing with it, and it's perfect for the age she's at now, where she's rolling and really like just discovering, you know, slowly the world around her, and she's getting really into things that make sounds and different textures. Aww. And she wants to put everything in her mouth. But it's from an American brand called Lovery. But it's coming, they're coming to Europe. I think I've tagged it on Instagram before, but it's it's a really, really good play mat. I really like it. And it looks attractive.
Cool. We'll definitely have a look at that. Yeah. We definitely need less of the garish plastic rubbish in the house, don't we?
Oh,
and finally, just to finish up, if you could give one piece of advice to a new parent, what would it be?
I would say just trust your gut. Don't be afraid to ask for help. If you feel that there's something wrong, then, you know, it's probably coming from somewhere. If you've got this instinct, like I did have an instinct with Sienna's reflux that something wasn't quite right, but I just wasn't sure what it was.
Yeah.
So just, you know, keep asking for answers, get another opinion. You know, don't be put off by someone just trying, you know, saying to you, all babies do that. That's normal baby behavior. Like if you feel that there's something wrong, then look into it and just trust your gut. I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Absolutely.
Oh, Millie, what an absolute treat chatting to you today. Thank you so much for being so wonderful, so honest, and it's been just been great having you on.
Thank you so much. I feel like we need to have some wine soon.
Yes, definitely.
God, when we're allowed to meet up.
Yeah, when we're allowed to meet up, I feel like we just need to go for some wine and just... And maybe just not only chat about being mums as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that sounds good.
I want to go dancing. That's what I want to do.
I would love to. I'd love to put on like a fab dress and heels and go out dancing too. Oh, that sounds really fun.
That's 2021. That's got our name written all over it. Thanks again, Millie. Chat to you soon.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a lovely day. Bye.
I love her. She's amazing, isn't she?
So do I. After lockdown, we're out for drinks with her for sure.
Yeah, she. I mean, listen, I've known her personally and I for a while, for quite a long time, actually. And she has really grown, like the growth in her. I mean, we always say that, don't we? When you become a parent, you just get this added depth to you. And you can tell she absolutely loves being a mum. Brilliant mum she is.
Yeah, no, I really, really loved hearing, you know, everything that she had to say. And, you know, I just love hearing people in that first 6 months of motherhood. It is such a roller coaster. Yeah. And sometimes you forget as well. You forget all those small hurdles that you get through, you know, like getting out of the door. And also, do you know what? That, you know, when she was saying about how pressured she felt when she went out, you know, having to look a certain way. I mean, people, you forget about that. People in the public eye. You know, she's just a new mum. She just wanted to go out, probably just in her joggers and her hair bunched up on top of her head, having not showered for a week. But she felt like she had to look a certain way.
And that was upsetting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is upsetting. I think sometimes it's easy to see someone, you know, on, you know, the Mail Online or wherever you kind of look at these images and think, oh, they, you know, they don't look themselves. And you forget that they've literally she just had a baby. And what did we look like when we just had a baby? Like a week after. We wasn't out there for everybody to see.
No, absolutely not. You're dead right with that one, G. And I think also the way that we perceive celebrity, you know, post having a baby, and actually we're quite quick to kind of make comments and judgments about, you know, somebody's appearance or whether they're doing something too quickly and why aren't they at home with their kids and all this kind of stuff. It's like, you know what? It's about women supporting women. And she should feel, or at least the press should respect the fact that she's just had a child. And if she wants to step out, you know, not having showered like the rest of us, that's absolutely fine.
It is, exactly.
I thought she was brilliant. I'm so glad that we've managed to have that chat. So listen, for those of you listening, if you have got any suggestions on who you want to hear on the podcast, please do keep sending those in to us. And as always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And if you can give us a little 5-star, that would be amazing too, because that just helps boost the amount of people that hear the pod.
Yes, please do. And also, any feedback on the podcast, any, you know, topics you want us to cover, drop us a message at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman. And we'll see you on Friday.
We'll see you then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.